All right, I'm going to start by playing the inflammatory quote from the Anime Pulse podcast that was, like, their show number was 16, and it's called Oh My Goddess.
All right, so also, the last final little bit is Otakon finally posted its official rules for the Artist Alley, and people, this isn't a big deal. I mean, it's common sense. It's like, you can't use actual copyrighted images in your fan art. So you can't take a picture of Kenshin and put it on, like, a background and say, it's fan art! No, but if you draw your own Kenshin, fine. No big deal.
Works for me.
So, I don't know what the hell people were making such a big deal about. I mean, if it's fan art, it's fan art. If it's not fan art, then it's not fan art. Pretty self-explanatory. I don't know. So, alright, let's get on to...
Misinformed. I mean, it's inflammatory mostly because he has absolutely no fucking idea what he's talking about.
That's not meaning inflammatory.
It's inflammatory for me. Where, you know, I listen to it and I'm like... Oh my god, he's totally wrong, and it fills me with rage. Isn't that the definition of inflammatory?
It fills me with rage because he not only does he not know what he's talking about, but he's talking about what he does not know with such a tone of... Authority. This is obviously completely obvious.
Only an idiot would think this were untrue.
The number one way to spread misinformation is to be really confident about it when you say it. If I said very confidently enough times a day, dude, the sky is totally fucking green. You know what? Some guy is going to believe me. He's going to decide he's been colorblind his whole life.
I know, because that's how I got through school, by saying authoritative sounding things. People believe you, even if you're not correct.
Yeah, so it's just sort of like one more person contributing to the general noise of blatant misinformation that is this entire fiasco!
Alright, so you're listening to the Ninja Consultant podcast, and I'm Erin, obviously, and I'm sitting here with Allison, who has a lot to say about the Otakon Artist Alley recent shenanigans.
I kind of wish that I didn't, because this has really taken up too much of my time already, but man, I can't help it. It's too retarded.
We're talking about forum threads that were hundreds of... They were like 200 posts long, and that was just the Otakon forums before they closed that thread down. And then Anime News Network reported on it, and there was an extremely long thread. You know, like you go through one page of post. It was like 11, 13 pages.
I think it was going on like 20 last time I checked.
Yeah, I didn't check back after a while. And so there was the... Do you want to sum it up, or...?
Well, I mean, there were two stages to this problem. Stage one is that Otakon was like, all right, guys, here's like sort of a shot off the bow. Like, here's a warning about changes we're going to make to our policy, which we will discuss in detail later. But needless to say, this initial post caused a huge amount of flaming, monkey-crying, ridiculous controversy. Huge amounts of controversy were caused by this initial post.
Right.
And then... Anime News Network was like, this is news! We should post about it, since currently only people registered on the Otakon message boards can read any of this stuff anyway. However, people then had a giant shitstorm of misinformation, condescension, and general chaos.
And it was sort of like everyone ever was weighing in with their uninformed opinion on the issue. People who were like, I've never even been to Otakon, but this enrages me.
Or, I've never, in fact, picked up a pencil, and yet I know everything there is to know about fan art, and also
and
am completely
art.
Equipped to judge everyone else who has ever done it, ever.
Or people who are like, I'm not a lawyer, but I've read a single Wikipedia entry, so I think I can weigh in on this completely. I have the most authority.
Bonus points.
Nonstop insanity.
Bonus points for being extremely condescending and insulting to at least 5 or 6 other people also participating in the thread.
A lot of people who are just like, oh, fan art is totally illegal. I really support Otakon's decision to do what they do, even though I've never been to a con or read any manga or heard of Comic Market.
My particular favorite was that one guy, you know, I know I wish I'd actually printed this out, but one particular guy who was saying, well, you know, honestly, if you want to be real creativity involves creating your own characters, you're using somebody else's work, you're not being creative. Now, as somebody who professionally writes things using other people's characters in a company I'm not going to detail right now, he then justified the statement by saying, well, my dad is an artist, therefore I know everything there is. And it's
you're talking about
that guy.
Zach.
Yeah, you know, I mean...
Oh, yeah,
that was
kind of harsh.
Yeah, that was kind of harsh. Anyway, that was the kind of thing that was being said, which, A, you know, really this has very little to do with Otakon at a certain point. It's just kind of insulting people randomly because you feel like it.
Yeah, at that point. Well, it was more insulting than there was, like, a random guy, Colonel Wolf or something, who was saying absolutely ridiculous things. But this person who was saying, my dad's an artist, so I know things about art, it's actually someone really high up in Anime News Network.
Yeah, and you know, so I like Zach. That's like people was pissing me off.
Yeah, I know, I respect him, but isn't he the answer man?
Well, he's the answer man.
Well, like, I really do depend on him for actual information.
And I think he's a cool guy. Yeah. But I think that he's a total Nazi when it comes to anything that might possibly have breathed in the general vicinity of bootlegs.
Yeah, and he's a Nazi about, like, fansubs as well. Yeah. He's just like, let's face it, it's totally illegal.
And it's like, you know, sometimes things being legal or not illegal is kind of only part of the problem. I'm sure he's done many things that are illegal. We all have. Let's face it.
Ripping the tags off pillows.
Ripping the tags off pillows.
I guess I should, maybe I should kind of fess up here that when it comes to the kinds of policies that Otakon's Artist Alley rules are now covering, I have blatantly abused fan art sales in Artist Alley in the past. I did copy existing drawings, not on different backgrounds, on no backgrounds, because I don't really actually have that much artistic talent, and then printed out lots of copies of those buttons to sell, and they sold well. Or there was a time that I cut magazines up and made buttons out of them, and those sold really well. Now, those were one-of-a-kind buttons. I don't know. I don't think they would be covered at all in Otakon's current rules, but I wasn't mass-producing them, which seems to be an issue. But we'll get to that eventually.
Yeah, keep in mind that, you know, we were free to admit that sometimes we have done things that we may or may not should have gotten away with. However, yeah, my problems with this have very little to do with my actual personal involvement. Is I'm not freaking getting a table this year. Screw this. I'm just sort of annoyed on the behalf of everybody who has to participate in this whole ridiculousness, which unfortunately does include Aaron. Aaron,
well, I don't have
fun
to.
Time.
I do have legitimate goods to sell this year, regardless of the new policy, so I will be getting a table. And hopefully selling Ninja Consultant t-shirts, which it's not a trademark phrase or a logo or...
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever. So, anyway, it's fine. Anyway.
Let's get down to this whole... I mean, do you want to summarize what the current policy is, or do you want me to do it?
You can if you have it in front of you.
Well, I have it right in front of me.
Okay.
Basically, the policy has not actually changed that much. The major change is they are now cracking down very hard upon anything that could be construed as bootleg merchandise. T-shirts, pins, basically anything that you have more than a few copies of that involves licensed characters. They're including everything from prints of some drawing you did to your t-shirt that says Inuyasha Rules Forever.
For people who've never been to a convention or visited an Artist Alley, maybe we should give a kind of brief outline of what it's like.
That's true.
To walk into an Artist Alley.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think it's a combination of the general sci-fi convention thing of having an art show,
yeah,
and the, you know, borrowed from Japan, huge Comic-Con-esque, look, we've got lots of stuff that we've made and we want to sell it to lots of other people, like, kind of thing. I feel like these two traditions have kind of been combined, like the American con tradition, Japanese con tradition, put these things together and you have the modern anime Artist Alley, which they all tend to be basically the same. It's a matter of scale.
Yeah, it's like people are selling their comics, which are original or maybe sometimes based on their stuff, or prints, like, that are their own kind of pictures of your favorite characters.
It's usually, like, 75% to 90% fan-based work. Anything from, like, a pin of Sai from Hikaru no Go looking super cute to, like, this, you know, giant 12-inch by 40-inch wall scroll of, like, half-naked Rurouni Kenshin. Like, pretty much anything on that scale will be in a... involved in Artist Alley, and the only difference really between a small Artist Alley and a big one is how many people are involved and how much money people are charging for their ridiculous things.
Right. I think Otakon's had like 200 artists, something like that.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
At last year's, but that's pretty much the biggest one. Like, at Anime Expo last year, their Artist Alley was much smaller by comparison, crammed into a little hallway between where you exit the dealer's room and the escalators. It was really packed with people. Like, there was clearly a demand. Like, I bought a little Sculpey thing of the Prince of the Cosmos that was really cool to give to Maggie, but it's, the Otakon one is huge. It's in like a warehouse sized room. It expanded every year. It's enormous.
It's frankly, I mean, that's the really, I'm sorry, the really sad thing about all this is that Otakon Artist Alley is really like the anime con Artist Alley. It is really huge. It is very prestigious. Lots and lots and lots and lots of people go through it. It's a really excellent way to get your stuff out there because it's a con that has 25,000 people going to it. I mean, some large proportion of those people are eventually going to see your stuff, even if they then choose to go on and buy that giant wall scroll of Naked Kenshin.
Yeah. I mean, things are a lot cheaper than you would find in the dealer's room as well. So if you might find a comparable item or a more original item for less money than you will in the dealer's room. So typically people hit the hard selling on Sunday after they're down to pocket change, and they'll spend that change on stickers or bookmarks or something. Bryce from Otaku Generation last year, he was like, this year's Otakon Artist Alley is better than the dealer's room. And
yeah,
I think you meant that in where, you know, the dealer's room gets picked over. It's the same merchandise you see at every con you go to that year. Things you find in Artist Alley tend to be more original, more unique. Things you can't then go and purchase online for cheaper.
Yeah. You know, it's actually kind of ironic that a lot of the problems that are happening right now stem from the fact that anime licensing is very, very difficult. Like, it's hard to make... You have to license something that's really, really popular and make something that sells a bazillion million units in order to actually make any money with licensing, which means that generally the dealer room doesn't actually have that much stuff, especially stuff that hasn't been imported from Japan and costs a billion zillion dollars.
Right.
So, like, you can't find that thing that you really want, like that random character from Fruits Basket that you really love. You're not going to find a super awesome pin with their face on it because nobody gives a shit. However, that means that Artist Alley has been driven to create more of that thing, which creates... competition for the dealer's room, which is exactly what is getting us into trouble in the first place. It's the fact that the dealer's room probably is suffering because of Artist Alley, because you know what? Their merchandise kind of sucks.
Yeah, and there's also this lag where... there's a lag in market time where it takes a long time in the U.S. for... Okay, say you want to sell an Ed plushie from Fullmetal Alchemist, and you're a giant company. What you have to do is you have to wait for the anime to be licensed, and hopefully if it's shown on TV, you'll know that that's a license worth buying because the show is going to be really popular. So then you go out and you pay thousands of dollars to a Japanese company,
tens of thousands of dollars,
so you can have the right for your factory somewhere in God knows where, Iowa, to print out a bunch to, you know, chuck out a bunch of Ed plushies and sell them in a con. By the time you've done that, it's probably 2 years in a best case scenario after the show stopped airing in Japan. But the thing is, like, now in the fan market, everyone who watched the fan sub right away goes to a con that year and is like, I so want any Full Metal Alchemist merchandise at all. Anything. Yeah. Like a dish towel, which I believe was one of the import goods that came over first.
Yes, it in fact was.
Yeah. So there's this huge lag that's like a market gap where people really want merchandise. Like there was a lot of Bleach merchandise last year. But it's like there's a hole there that's waiting to be filled. And it's not being filled by the dealers because of the strange, you know, lawyering going on in Japan.
And not only that, but there's also, like, they can only be producing so much stuff at a time, and Japan doesn't tend to, like, keep re-releasing this stuff. Like, even if you're talking about imports in Japan, like, you're not going to be getting any merchandise from a show that's been off the air for, like, 5 or 10 years, unless it's fucking Evangelion.
Yeah,
like,
there was this one kid in the Otakon forums who was like, there wasn't enough Yu Yu Hakusho at last year's Otakon. It's like, kid, I know you watched it yesterday on Cartoon Network, but you know it's been off the air for 15 years. Like, in Japan, something is popular today and it's gone tomorrow. Like, the anime comes out when only 2 volumes of the manga are out, and they have merchandise next week and it's gone 3 weeks from then.
Yeah.
You can't... It's hot and it's gone, and they're on top of that trend. Here, the marketing model is much slower, where it takes a long time for things to become slowly popular on Cartoon Network, and by then Japan is, like, done merchandising, they're out of the market. Yeah. Maybe they'll dump a bunch of secondhand goods on you. The best goods you can get are stuff that's made in Chinese factories by American companies, I assume.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you're not going to be able to find Yu Yu Hakusho merchandise in the dealer's room because it's not popular. No one's making that anymore for such an old show. You're going to have to go to Artist Alley and find the one artist who really loves Yu Yu Hakusho and has drawn all the characters.
And
he's there.
And he's cranking up bookmarks like there's no tomorrow.
And he's got a bunch of stickers and they cost like 5 cents a piece. So that's what you're going to get.
Yeah.
You know?
So anyway, this is basically the purpose of Artist Alley is, I mean, A, like, yes, it's supposed so that people can share their fabulous artwork and it gives artists a chance to maybe have some people look at their original stuff, but, I mean, who are we kidding here? People don't go to Artist Alley because they want to see, like, your independently produced
indie comic. I'm scared of those people. I don't like the people who are like, read my indie comic. You like anime. They're kind of anime style. Read this. I don't like the pushiness of that. Like, I have, you know, an original comic as well, which I did with Allison. So it's like, I'm selling whatever anime kind of, you know, fan-related merchandise, and if someone wants to look at my original comic, it's sitting there.
It's a super bonus.
Yeah, and it's a bonus.
But that's not why they're there.
No.
This isn't like the Mocha Art Fest or like SPX or something.
If you want to push your original indie comic, there are cons for that, and there are cons where people want to read your original work, but at an anime convention, it's not.
And props to the people who, I mean, like my friend David and his girlfriend Raina, like they go to Otakon and like they sell their original indie comics, and like, props to them, man. Like, yeah, that's great that they have the financial wherewithal to take that kind of risk, but man, one, I don't have like this giant library of indie comics that I can base an entire table off of, and two, because
of your failure to go to SPM.
And I'm not a professional con-goer. Like, I don't have, like, they're professional con-goers.
Yeah, they actually have a small kind of business of going to cons and selling the original work, but they're not just going to Otakon and depending on breaking even to that, they're going to the actual small press expo.
Yeah, Otakon, they're kind of like, well, we want to go to Otakon anyway, and if we get a table, maybe we can make back some of our expense if I haven't gone to the con. Which, by the way, is why a lot of people are on Artist Alley in the first place.
That's why I started doing stuff for Artist Alley.
Yeah, and incidentally, I would like to point out that the registration fee for Artist Alley this year is, let me make sure I have, cost is $60 a table.
What was it last year?
It was not $60 a table.
Wasn't it? But then they,
I think it was like 45.
Wasn't it like a 4-foot table, though? And now this year it's like
six foot tables.
But last year they had like 8-foot tables and you bought half of one.
Yeah, but I think it was $90. It was ridiculous.
Okay.
I think it was, I think it was maybe $90 for 8 foot. The whole thing, and I mean, I don't remember, I'd have to go look it up, but
yeah, like maybe $45.
What it was last year is besides the point, that it is $60 to get a table. Like, that means that just to break even, you have to sell $60 worth of shit.
But what did Mike say is the cost of a table at a regular con?
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Like $300 or $600.
Oh, it's, well, I think it was like $800.
$800 to be like a
New York City Comic Con.
Yeah.
It was, it's insane.
Yeah. So, really, $60, or what is it, $75, compared to $800.
Is not a lot of money, but when you're, like, some kid...
Yeah, a lot of people in Artist Alley, the actual artist, are really young. Like, there are people like the 50-year-old couple who is sitting, or 65-year-old couple who's sitting next to us selling their fairy art, and, you know, they seem to find an audience for that, but for the most part, people there are very young.
And also, I mean, the thing is like, honestly, like, the tables at, like, New York City Comic Con, like, that go for $800, those are meant for small comic publishing companies. Like,
yeah,
your company is getting that table. Like, sometimes independent artists will blow the bank and get one for themselves, but generally it's like a small publishing house,
right,
is buying this. It's not like
also,
some individual person has to cough up $800 to pay for this table, which is what's going on with RSL.
They're also looking at, they're making a professional connection, like,
yeah,
at a big Comic-Con where, or like a small press expo, so presumably someone's going around who is a bigger market for that than just an individual buyer that, you know, maybe Diamond distributors should be like, your book looks good.
Yeah.
Like, in your house. Anyway.
Howdy. This is Bill Steve. Come to talk to you about our sweet new video game podcast called Fish in a Barrel. I've just come to tell you, the listeners, that we love you. In fact, we love you, the listeners, so much that we start off each episode with reading the emails first and talking about what you want to talk about. And we just love you.
Steven!
Yes, James?
Are you doing the promo?
Maybe.
You better not be telling the listeners we love them, because we don't.
Well, no, I'm... Hold on. Search us on iTunes at Fish in a Barrel and Fibcast.com. We love you. Bye. Fish in a Barrel. It goes there.
Hi, I'm Ichigo.
I'm Balto.
And we're Anime Pulse.
We've got our fingers on the pulse of anime.
Do you like anime, but you don't know what to watch?
We love anime and watch it all the time.
So if you want the true fans' perspective on the latest and greatest from Japan,
rants or just stories about anime,
we're the ones to check it out. So check out Anime Pulse at www.anime-pulse.com.
Hey, you kids! What are you doing on my lawn?
It's
Get out of here!
Oh, great, it's old man Ichigo!
Run!
Oh, yeah. Listen to Randomization Podcast. Oh yeah, Randomization Podcast. www.randomizationpodcast.tk. Thank you for your time, good sir. Now you may continue to listen to whatever you were before. Peace out.
Yeah, you really should listen to it. It's great. Listen to it.
This podcast is proudly listed at the best podcasting directory on the internet, podcastpickle.com. We now return you to your regularly scheduled download, already in progress.
Anyway,
so we should read the short list of rules, which are the new official policy.
Yeah, which are kind of misleading. The absolute rules. Would you like to read the absolute rules?
Stuff that... Okay, we'll start with... Items that may be sold in the alley include any products featuring your own creations. 2, small quantities of legally imported merchandise or legitimate U.S. product. Legally imported or legitimate... Small quantities of them.
You meaning like if you have already bought something, you can resell it in small quantities at your table.
So like used things, but you can't do your used manga bookstore? Like that'd be
yeah,
bad.
If you have like some VC, like some tapes you want to get rid of, you can sell them, but
not
you shouldn't be like...
Not if they're fancy.
You shouldn't have like a bookshelf to hold those tapes.
Okay. 3, commissioned and hand-drawn works, but see the guidelines below. 4, unique individual handmade items, but see the guidelines below. 5, doujinshi, fanzines, and similar items, but see the guidelines below. So then for contrast...
The devil is in the details.
I know. The things that aren't allowed, things that may not be sold in the alley include 1, knockoff or bootleg merchandise, for example, SM CDs. I think they mean like Sailor Moon CDs.
I have absolutely no idea.
Okay. 2, bootleg videos. This includes bootleg videos recorded on blank videotapes with printed labels, homemade DVDs, pirated copies of any titles that have been released commercially in the United States, Japan, or elsewhere, titles taped off the air in Japan, and any and all fan subs. 3, any posters, idle cards, etc., which read Kodak, Fuji, etc. on the back.
They always have that. I never quite got what that was all about.
There must have been a controversy a long time ago.
There must be something. Yeah, that's like on every single artist. LA policy, it's the whole Kodak Fuji thing. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay. 4, unlicensed reproductions of any products actually released by an American company. And 5, food, snacks, or beverages. Aramac holds an exclusive catering and concession contract with the Baltimore Convention Center. Aramac states that exhibitors may not sell food and compete with their contract. Now that's kind of a, it's sort of a point where... When I mostly only had gone to Otakon, I was just like, you can't sell food in the dealer's room, whatever, people get over it. Why does everyone make such a fuss about it every year? Why is it one of their frequently asked questions? But it turns out, at other cons, they sell Pocky in the dealer's room, and it's not a big deal.
Yeah, they really do.
Yeah. So at Baltimore Convention Center, it's kind of screwed up and whatever, but they can't get out of their contract.
Yeah. Now, the funny thing about all of these, about these absolute rules, is that they... are kind of misleading. There's all these references to how you're supposed to see the guidance below. The guidance below was where really all the important things, and I'm not going to read through this whole thing because it's really long, but basically what it boils down to is there's a division that they are creating between what they think is like, they use the word handcrafted a lot.
Yeah.
Like, individually created things. Like
I think they're trying to contrast it with mass-produced things, but I also think there's, and they seem to really rip on buttons, but I think there's a really big... misunderstanding there about how fans make buttons.
Yeah. Most people aren't, like, sending off to some button company and getting 500 of these in the mail.
No, we're making one at a time, and it takes, how many
hours
buttons can you make in an hour?
Hours. Like, if you're really 60? Good at it, yeah, maybe.
60 if you have all your stuff ready, and that doesn't count the time it took to draw the things, scan them in, paint them in Photoshop.
Cut out the frickin' circles.
Copy and paste them, print them in color, print it again because you messed up the first time.
Yeah.
And then, that's if you have a color printer.
Yeah.
And then cut out all the circles. That takes forever.
Really long
and unless you have an expensive circle cutter, it hurts your hands.
And even if you do have an expensive circle cutter, it still takes for friggin' ever.
By expensive, we mean like, what, $150, $300?
The cheap circle cutter, which I have, is $50, and it doesn't work all the time.
Right.
And it, yeah.
And by hand, it's like carpal tunnel inducing, because I've done that. And then the button machine itself was what? Because you just bought
$200.
One. $200. So, and that's not an incredibly steep overhead, but... And then you get the button parts, and then if you mess it up, then you get one that doesn't work. But anyway.
Yeah.
So these buttons go, officially licensed buttons, which are probably better constructed, go for $1 or more, like $2 in the dealer's room.
Anywhere between $1 and $2, depending on the size.
But the fan-made ones can go for cheaper than that. Like, I've often sold them for 50 cents or 25 cents
25
on Sunday.
Cents on Sunday.
Although that's often competing. Like,
Sunday,
a lot of other
Sunday,
artists
Sunday.
Will be like, yeah, a lot of other artists are like, they sell theirs for $1 or $2. And we're talking about 1-inch buttons. Bigger buttons are cheaper to make and cheesier looking. Like, yeah. They're not the little punk rock, you know, indie show buttons that people like. If you get the 5-inch button with your kid's photo on it from a sports team, that's yeah. classy.
Aaron and I are particularly touchy about the button issue because,
yeah,
you know what, buttons sell really well.
They do.
Like when I just had my table at New York City Comic Con. You know what we sold a freaking lot of? We sold a lot of buttons. We sold so many buttons it probably made up about half the revenue we made on that table. Like seriously,
yeah,
people really like buttons.
I guess the first because we've done the button thing for like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
At Otakon, and the first year there wasn't that much competition, so our buttons sold like hotcakes. And the second year, a lot more people had gotten buttons. Last year, other people brought their button machines to the con along with computers and printers. They could just print out a custom button on the spot and then make it. Yeah, I'm not lugging all that crap to Otakon. A printer? Like,
screw that.
Do you know how much the button machines weigh? They're pretty heavy. Anyway.
So, I mean, the thing is, at the end of the day, as much as it's kind of annoying that we have to... I mean, basically they're saying you cannot have any licensed characters on buttons that you are making more than a handful of. They're still pinning down exactly what counts as mass-produced and what does not count as mass-produced, but the point of the matter basically is they don't want you making buttons that will compete with officially licensed buttons or t-shirts or, you know, bookmarks or any other sort of merch kind of thing.
Right.
However, you know, the reason that all this, and a lot of people are rightly saying, well, that's not such a big deal. You know what? It isn't really a big deal. And if this is what they had posted originally in that thread that was posted all those weeks ago,
yeah,
people like me would have been like, eh, that's kind of a bummer, and it's sort of annoying that they're becoming so formal about all this. But, you know, whatever, it's fine, and it wouldn't have been that big of a deal, and a few people would have kicked up a shitstorm, and we rightly would have said, you know what, you guys gotta calm down, it's really not that big of a deal. But however,
that's not what they originally posted.
That was really not what they originally posted at all.
So why did the internet react so strongly, saying, ZOMFG, why are you banning fan art? To the point where they had to make a press release saying, Otakon is not banning fan art.
Yes, explicitly had to say that.
So do you want to, shall I read Rachel's original
yes,
post?
Yes, although make sure to point out that the title, what
okay,
the title
okay.
of the post originally was.
Oh, what was the title originally?
It was originally
Official Changes, which they changed into saying Discussion of Possible Changes after an Anime News Network reporting snafu, because they were like, Otakon has announced this, and they were like, wait, that's not our official announcement. And they're like, what do you mean? It's in a thread called Official Changes. And it's, you know, written by the person in charge of Artist Alley, so why is it not official? Indeed. So, Rachel Ann, who was the department head of Artist Alley last year, is also the head again this year, and she begins every message with, hi, hi, all.
Sometimes she leaves off the all, let's be fair.
Okay, this one just says, hi, hi, all. Okay, the Otakon meeting is over, and I've got all my questions answered. We're ready to go. I'll be posting the guidelines, forms, Q&A, and Artist Alley, yada, yada, later on, but I'm aiming for March 1st. Here are some highlights. 1, the layout will be about the same, yada, yada. 2, we will be using 6x6-foot tables. Cost will be $60, yada, yada, yada. 4, we're continuing with ribbons, which means, you know, you can go behind the table. And 5, a giant bold H2 font. This is the big one.
Pointing out, by the way, that she knows perfectly well that this is not going to go over all that well.
And it's not going to fly. 5, Otakon's Artist Alley will be actively disallowing the sale of unlicensed copyrighted materials. If you own it, you can sell it. If you have license to it, you can sell it. But if this material... But if it has material, images, sounds, etc., in whole or in part, which you do not have permission to sell, then that material will not be allowed in Artist Alley. Anyone found in violation of this rule loses their retail space in Artist Alley for the remainder of the convention. The above statement will be officially, legally worded and posted on the site during February after our lawyer and Otakorp president have approved
Again,
of it.
Again, I want to point out, at no point does she suggest that maybe this policy in its details is not final. She simply says that maybe she'll reword it slightly.
Right. So 5B is a sub thing. Policy for the display of unlicensed copyrighted material, provided it is not for sale, is currently under review. 6. Table islands we mark with signposts.
Blah, blah,
something,
blah,
something,
blah, blah.
Who cares? So one of the first responses, like the second response, is 5 referring to fan art? Because she never explicitly says fan art. And
yeah.
Later, and then that's the beginning of the explosion, because really what she has outlined in her initial post is fan art.
And she keeps saying she didn't explicitly use the word fan art, and I'm like, that's great for you that you didn't use fan art, Rachel Ann, but we are not morons, and we all knew what you were talking about.
Fan artists are aware of the definition of fan art, which is pretty much outlined.
Yeah, in fact,
can I
go through the Q&A? Because the Q&A, I think, is fantastic.
It is.
This was further down the thread, but I think it was within, like, the first three or four pages. This is what we're talking about right now. It's very early on in the whole kerfuffle, which is, I think, a generous word to be using for this situation. Shitstorm might be better.
Yeah.
Anyway, so she says, Rachel, very helpfully, I'm leaving out the high highs from now on because they make me want to stab myself in the head. She says, is something allowed in Artist Alley 2006? Here's a quick checklist. And she says, left a little question. Does your art contain a character, logo, or other materials that is copyrighted, trademarked, or otherwise legally rights reserved? And she says,
if your answer is yes,
it's these like are the possible answers.
Yeah, like a self-checklist.
First answer is yes, the creation is entirely mine, and I myself hold all the rights to it allowed. Yes, but I have permission from the rights holder to sell this material allowed.
Like, that would happen.
Yeah. Yes, but while I do not have permission, I'm using the character in such a way as to parody the character. And she says, conditionally allowed.
With an asterisk.
Yes, with an asterisk, which explaining while it is legal to use copyrighted characters in parody. Unfortunately, she's basically saying, don't look for the loophole, you motherfuckers. I'm not going to bother because it's whatever, it's not actually important. Then she says, while I do not have permission, I have placed the character in a different pose, background, or situation than would be found elsewhere. She says, not allowed. Yes, this art contains images copied directly from a copyrighted source, which I do not have license to sell. Not allowed. Now, I would like to ask, what part of, yes, but while I do not have permission, I have placed the character in a different pose, background, situation than would be... How is that not fan art? Explain this to me! And so, after this particular this explicit clarification, the shitstorm began! And people, which admittedly included myself, were then like, excuse me, could you please explain to me why we're having an anime convention artist alley that will involve no fan art? One wonders why we're bothering. Why shouldn't we just give people tickets to perhaps another convention?
Where original art is being sold.
You know, SPX is in Bethesda, Maryland. That's kind of close by. Let's just move them to the same weekend. Put them on a little bus. Want to go to artist alley? Go to SPX. Buy some freaking indie comics, you losers. Anyway.
This ends part one of the discussion with Allison about the Otakon Artist Alley policy.
Weekly Anime Review claims to review a new anime each week, but he just missed a week. Here's the reason why, by his own admission.
I kill without remorse. I really liked killing little girls without remorse.
But there is a podcast about Japanese cartoons out there with hosts that can murder little girls and release their podcast on time. That podcast is Anime World Order. Visit us on the web at www.animeworldorder.com or search for anime under iTunes for anime news and reviews brought to you by three responsible psychopaths. Anime World Order. We kill children timely.
The proceeding is brought to you by the friends and supporters of Anime World Order, namely the Weekly Anime Review Podcast.
Don't know what an otaku is? Don't know what baka means? I'm here to help on Anime 101, a new podcast for those overwhelmed with the strange world of Japanese animation. I'm Vespaholic, your host into the strange world of anime, where giant robots and magical girls are an everyday occurrence. Come, discover anime with me. You might be surprised that anime is a little more than kid stuff. It isn't all Speed Racer and Pokemon. So please, check out my new podcast at anime101.libsyn.com. Oh.